Good morning, everyone. Can I just say what a privilege it is to be able to share with you this morning as we gather around God's Word. We do trust and pray that as we meditate upon it, that God, in His goodness and His grace, might speak to us through it. We pray that we might be challenged, we might be encouraged, and above all, that we might be blessed. I'd like to begin by reading two short passages of Scripture. The first one is found in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 1. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug. And then across to Jeremiah and chapter 18. And we just want to read the first six verses. Jeremiah 18 and verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord: Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words. So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. And the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand. And he reworked it into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to do. Then the word of the Lord came to me: O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter has done, declares the Lord? Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. This is the word of God. Let's just pray together before we come to study it. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we come before you this morning in and through that name that is above every name, that of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour. And our Father, we thank you and praise you for the access that we have into your presence through the work of your Son, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, our Father, too, for the provision that you have made for us. We thank you for the Word of God that we have available to us in our own tongue, and the freedom to read it, the freedom to preach it, the freedom to share it with others. And our Father, we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, the one who is able to take of the things of God and to make them real to us. And we ask that just now, as we turn to your word, we pray that your Spirit would indeed enlighten our minds and encourage our souls, and our Father, above all, enable us to live out those lessons that you would share with us. For we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. One of the twists of human nature is that we can have a very different view, a very different understanding of ourselves from what the reality is. We can so easily point the finger at those who, as we would say, have tickets on themselves. Perhaps they've gotten on a bit in life and they really like to let us know how well they've done. And they so quickly forget what they once were. And yet, if we're honest, we have to acknowledge that we can all suffer from this same tendency from time to time. How well God knows us. In Isaiah 51 and verse 1, which we read just a moment ago, God challenges his people not to forget, not to lose sight of what they once were. where they came from. He says, remember the pit from which you were dug. Remember the pit from which you were dug. It's a challenge that we need to be constantly faced with. Not least because it's something that we don't like to be reminded of. Something we would rather forget. At times, you could be forgiven for thinking that we were dug from a gold mine or from a diamond mine, the way we behave, instead of the reality that we were dug from the clay pit. We conveniently forget what sort of stuff we're made of. But God doesn't. The psalmist reminds us in Psalm 103 and verse 14, he says, he knows our frame. He remembers that we are but dust. God knows our frame. He remembers that we are but dust. In Jeremiah chapter 18, God highlights this same theme. It is what is often called an enacted parable to the prophet Jeremiah, where rather than simply expressing in words the image, the lesson is portrayed by actions. God describes his people here as clay, and he goes on to highlight some of the implications of that fact that we are clay. I want to take a closer look at that this morning, just for a short time, on three simple heads. We want to think about the nature of the clay. We want to think about the condition of the clay. And thirdly, we want to look at the patience of the potter. The patience of the potter. So let's begin with the nature of the clay. The most obvious thing about clay is that it's a humble material. It's not very good even for growing things in. It's sticky, it's heavy. It's not something that you would desire to have in your garden. It's not worth very much in its raw state. And that's a good picture of us as God's people in our raw state before the Lord took us in hand, as it were. We weren't worth very much. We weren't very desirable. We certainly weren't the kind of people that God would want in his presence. However, clay is a material that in its raw state, as we've just said, is worthless, and yet it has great potential. In the right hands, it can be transformed into a multitude of useful and beautiful items. Useless as it is in and of itself, through the skill of the potter's hands, it can be molded and shaped into beautiful, valuable articles. Indeed, the world's museums and art galleries are full of examples of such beautiful, expensive treasures. Clay vessels and ornaments that were once the possession of the very poor, going back through history. Now, because of their historic worth, many of them are priceless. And really, when you think about it, that's what God has and continues to do with each of us. When he reached down into the pit of sin and lifted us out of it, he set us on his potter's wheel. And he did that with a specific plan, with a particular pattern, a particular purpose for each one of us. He wants to shape us into a thing of beauty and of great value. But the most important thing to see here is it's not up to the clay to dictate to the potter. It's not up to the clay to argue with the potter about what form or what shape the finished article will take. The clay doesn't tell the potter how to work it. The clay doesn't tell the potter what he should make of it. He doesn't argue with the potter about what he thinks he should be. And God reminds Jeremiah of this same point. In chapter 5, or in verse 5, sorry, of chapter 18, he reminds the prophet, and through the prophet he reminds his people that it is the potter who is in control. Paul reinforces this idea in Romans chapter 9 and verse 21, where he says, "Does not the potter have power over the clay?" Does not the potter have power over the clay? The nature of clay is perhaps best summed up in the idea that without Christ, we are nothing. Without Christ, we are nothing. We have no value, we have no purpose, and we have no future. If that's the nature of the clay, what about the condition of the clay? The condition of the clay. Not only is the clay worthless, but it is also helpless. It's helpless. It can't make anything of itself. If it's ever going to be anything other than a lump of clay, then it must yield, it must give itself up, it must submit to the potter's hands. And the potter must do the molding and the shaping. The only thing that really the clay can do is to yield to the potter's hands. When it fails to do that, the end product is twisted, and misshapen and spoiled. When the clay fights against the potter's hands and tries to go its own way. And if you've ever used a potter's wheel, that's exactly what clay does. It seems to have a mind of its own. But when it tries to influence the end result, the vessel is marred. It's spoiled. It becomes a thing of ridicule. And isn't that so often true of us? Haven't we been guilty of refusing to yield to the heavenly potter? Perhaps we don't like the shape he's making of us. Perhaps we think that we can improve on his plans. But all we succeed in doing is spoiling what God is seeking to achieve in our lives. We mar its beauty. We reduce, perhaps even destroy, its usefulness. And we make it an object of ridicule. The condition of the clay is very clear. It's helpless. It's helpless. It needs to be given up to the potter's hands. Thirdly, let's think about the patience of the potter. Up to now we've been thinking about the clay. What about the potter? It's here we see the wonder of the one who is our God. Look at verse 4 of Jeremiah 18. It says, he made it into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter. He made it into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter. Even though the resistance of the clay distorted the potter's plan, everything wasn't lost. He simply took control and remade the vessel. He was patient. He dealt graciously with the unyielding clay. And he completed his plan, remaking, reshaping, until it was the way he wanted it to be. And he produced the perfect vessel. When a life has been damaged or spoiled because of sin or rebellion, when the clay resists the potter, does its own thing, God is patient. His forgiveness is available. And a fresh start is always obtainable. Down through history, how many have needed and indeed obtained that fresh start? We can think of people like Abraham, a man who messed up, as it were, on a number of occasions. But each time as he came in repentance, God restored him. Think of Jonah. Ran away from the task that God had given him. And yet God restored him. Think of Elijah running away under the juniper tree. And yet God restores him. And of course, in the New Testament, we have Peter. Someone who had the privilege of spending 3 years in the presence of the Lord, and who denied he even knew him. And yet, God restored him. And there have been many more since, right down through history, right down to today. Indeed, how often have we? How often have we needed that remolding at the potter's hands? So many times. And the wonderful thing is that his forgiveness is always available. He's always willing to go to work on us again, to reshape, to remold the vessel, to produce a vessel fit for the Master's use. Really, there's no need, no necessity for anyone to continue a spoiled, damaged vessel, ineffective, an object of ridicule. There's no need. When we've been guilty of resisting the potter's hands, when we've ignored his word, when we've tried to shape ourselves our way, and when we've seen and acknowledged the mess that we've made of it, we come afresh, confessing our failure, repenting. It brings his forgiveness afresh. When we yield our lives afresh to him, he's more than willing to rework, to remold us into vessels of honor, vessels that he can use for his glory. He can, and he does, as Joel reminds us in chapter 2 and verse 25. He restores the years the locusts have eaten. He restores the years the locusts have eaten. What patience our heavenly potter has. Patience that is so often tried by the lack of submission by the clay. But how firm a grip he has on the clay. He will finish the task that he has begun. And he will finish it his way and to his pattern. As he reminds us in his word, he that has begun a good work in you will complete it unto the day of Christ. Remember the pit from which you were dug. That's a very important challenge from the Lord for many reasons. When we're tempted to think too highly of ourselves, it's so important to remember what we were. What God saved us from. The pit he lifted us out of. When we're tempted to go it alone. To be the people that we would have us be. It's so important to remember what we are. Clay in the potter's hands. And it's his task, his role, to do the moulding and the shaping, to produce that finished product. When we're tempted to ignore God's word, when he speaks to us, it's important to remember what we are. We're the clay, and he is the potter. We're the clay, and he is the potter. And we can either yield to his gentle pressure, or we can be compelled to conform by his powerful hands. It's good to be reminded of the nature of the clay. Without him, we are nothing and we can do nothing. It's good to be reminded of the condition of the clay. How often have we spoiled God's handiwork because we have stubbornly wanted our own way and we have refused to yield to him? But it's also important to remember the patience of the potter. How wonderful. How amazing that in spite of our rebellion, he still prepared to start afresh, to rework, to remake us into useful, beautiful, treasured vessels, fit for his use, fit to grace his home. Here's a challenging thought. The only time that the potter can't work and remake the vessel is when the clay gets so hard that it is no longer capable of responding to his touch. Of course, God in his word often warns us against the hardening of our hearts. The potter keeps his clay in good condition by placing it under a damp cloth. He covers it over with a damp cloth. And as it rests there under the cloth, the clay absorbs the moisture out of the cloth. And that enables it to retain, to improve its pliancy. Makes it easier to mold and to shape. And our heavenly potter, our God, wants his clay, us. He wants us to rest under his word, daily absorbing it into our lives, making us increasingly pliable in his hands. And surely our prayer must be that we remember what we are, clay. We remember where we came from the pit of sin. And we remember what is happening to us. We are being molded. We're being shaped by the potter. And oh, that as we meditate on that idea, that concept, may it help us to always be pliable, to always be responsive to the Master's gentlest of touches. So that day by day, as he continues to mold and to shape our lives will become things of great beauty and usefulness that in turn will bring honor and glory and praise to his name. Let's pray. Remember the pit from which you were dug. Father, we do remember. We remember that you lifted us up from the horrible pit, from the miry clay, and you set our feet upon a rock. You established our way. Put a new song in our mouths, even praise unto our God. And we can never praise you enough for all that you have done in us and for us. We acknowledge penitently that so often we have sought to shape our lives our way. So often we've resisted the hands of the potter. So often we've been unhappy with his plan and his design. We pray that you would forgive us wherein that has been the case, and that you would help us to remember that all that we are and all that we ever will be, we owe to the one who loved us and gave himself for us, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that you might enable us day by day to yield ourselves to the moulding and shaping hands of our God as we read your word, as we seek to apply it to our lives. We ask that you might make us vessels fit for your use and vessels that will bring glory to your name. For we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.